Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I got this feeling that I've been here before. I got this feeling that I've been here before.
Hello. Hello. Oh my gosh, dueling hellos.
Hello.
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 And welcome to
our production of Book of Mormon. Welcome to We Know's Parenting.
Hello. I'm Peter McNerney.
And I'm Beth Newell.
And we did not agree on who was starting this episode, and I think that was perfect. Here we are. Week in review, Beth. It's been a good week, I think.
Yeah.
Some exciting things. What pops out in your mind?
Well, the big thing is Halloween, right?
Halloween.
Did we talk about Halloween?
Talk about the prep for it a little bit, but we didn't talk about it because it didn't happen yet.
You're right. It didn't happen.
Yeah. Time, you know.
So, you know, it was a classic Halloween tale. The kids dressed up. They got candy. They ate candy. They got a little too wound up.
We bookended in tantrums. So we had no plan for Halloween beyond you were on top of their costumes
almost
again.
Almost zero plan. The good news is I panic ordered their costumes in like September because I was like, you know what? I'm not going to want to think about this later. Let's just have a backup plan.
Yeah, you've been on top of costumes every year.
And I asked Bryn what he wanted to be and he said a bat. And I was like, well, he'll probably take this back halfway through the month, but at least I have one costume here before everything goes to shit.
And you got a bat costume
and
it was
stuck.
Cute.
He stuck with his desire to be a bat, which really was great.
And Maven was Peppa Pig and seemed a little indifferent to the costume. She didn't
like
that thing.
She was more on
her
into
head.
It when we first got the costume, and then by the time Halloween rolled around, she was sort of like, yeah, my Peppa costume. But as soon as she walked out that door and realized what Halloween was all about again, she was
focused
into it. Yeah. She was like,
she
immediately turned on her little maniacal giggle. Like, it's like quietly to herself, but she like realizes what's happening, and she just very quietly is like,
I need to get out the candy. And this is not a time to get attention because someone might take the candy.
Yeah, she put her head down. She got the candy. We came back inside after doing three buildings in our co-op complex, which is not huge.
But it's a lot of doors close together and everyone's giving out candy. It's a lot of candy real quick.
It was efficient. And they're at a good age where, I don't know a good age, but they're at an age where they have very little stamina for trick-or-treating. So it begins and ends quickly.
They burn hot and bright and quick.
Yeah, which is kind of nice. It's nice to just be like, all right, we did it.
Yeah.
So Maven walked up the stairs back into our door, sat down on the floor right in the middle of the hallway, put her bag down, started digging through it. Ate a lollipop, put the lollipop down on the ground, started opening more candy. She was ready.
I found
ready.
Half-eaten lollipops in several places. And her just trying to rip open these packages with such determination.
It was great. She really is my daughter, and there's really a lot of focus around treats, and I understand it.
She There was no point where she was like, now I can celebrate. It was all like, I need to get through this because I don't know when it's going to end.
But she was calm about it. Like, she was just focused. Like, she was like, and now I'm going to sit down and reap my reward.
Whereas Bryn William.
Bryn and his friend who came nicely, his dad brought him over to trick-or-treating.
So, well, I'll say we should rewind a little bit because 2 hours before trick-or-treating, I was going to pick them up and I realized none of us had a plan. So I texted Bryn's best friend's parents, our friends, and I was like, you guys want to come over? Beers, pizza, Halloween? And luckily, they had no plan either. And so we scraped it together last minute and they came on over.
I really enjoyed how quickly and easily the plans came together.
Oh, it was my kind of planning.
Yeah. Well, I really have to say we got very lucky with Bryn. We've said this before, but Bryn's best friend's parents are very nice, low-key, relaxed people. Yeah. And it just makes such a difference. I feel bad because my best friend was simultaneously texting me about her Halloween night, and she had been coerced into trick-or-treating with another couple that had a kid, and she hated them.
No.
I was like, oh, that sucks. And like, their kid's like having a candy meltdown and they're handling it terribly, which like I know sounds like I'm just being a judgmental parent, but the longer story I'm not going to tell is just she paints a picture of terrible people that she had to spend the night with. So we were so lucky there.
Part of me is afraid of everyone. And so after I started texting, I was like, should I have done this? Was this too much trouble? Is this an imposition? Oh, gosh, maybe we shouldn't have done this. And then I'm like, oh, no, they're the coolest.
They're great. And they, yeah, it was like.
So Bryn's friend came over, and the first thing that happened is they had a full screaming match about not sharing toys. And it was a total, like, you're not my friend anymore type of thing.
But this is, again, why it's so nice to have other parents that are relaxed, because even when I think we sense each other being uncomfortable, there's kind of a mutual understanding that, like, kids are just like this, they are, like, I think they are confident we're not judging. I'm fairly confident they're not judging us for our sense.
Oh, I'm absolutely certain that the only fear in the room is like looking bad in front of the other person, and no one is judging anyone else. And that's ultimately why it's so great.
Yeah. That was like the other nice thing about these plans coming together so quickly is that sometimes when we have people over, our house is, I have to say, almost too clean because maybe the cleaning lady just came, and I feel like people think that I then expect their house to look like that when I walk in. So the nice thing about this night is that they came over and our house was pretty much a mess.
And I cleaned it up in a little bit.
It wasn't an embarrassing mess. It was just like everywhere.
The last two times they came over, it had coincidentally just been after the cleaning lady.
So I was starting to feel like they think we're super anal.
Yeah.
And so it was like,
actually, my parents came over this weekend right after the cleaning lady, and it was great letting them think that we're so put together.
Yeah, I mean, your parents, I don't think they would care one way or the other.
No,
so
not at all.
It's fine.
I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah, anyway, it just feels good to like be like, see, we're also a mess sometimes. It's
That's sort of the opposite fear people have. It's like, oh, thank God the apartment was dirty. so they know we're not weirdos.
Well, I just.
So they're not stressed.
I think everyone has their own weird anxieties they're working with. And my thing is, because we live in a 2-bedroom apartment, I can't handle like chaos because it's like I feel like claustrophobic, like I'm in too enclosed a space. And if we had a bigger house and there was a messy playroom, I think I would just shut the door and, you know, go to other rooms.
Yeah.
But we don't. So I feel like we're pretty like uptight about the organization because I just want to like walk in and not be like in constant chaos.
I know.
My anxiety then becomes, am I making people think I'm a crazy lunatic uptight person?
My two best friends growing up, moms, were like super particular and neat and organized, and I felt like absent-minded me would always break some antique they had just bought.
That The scary thing for me is, like, if I was a stay-at-home mom, I think that's who I would become. And just, like,
yeah,
all my focus would be going into the house, and I would just, like, be constantly following the kids around being like, why is this not clean? What are you doing? Don't put that down. You know, like, I just...
I think we've got a good balance. I know that, like, if this place is cleaner than you expect it to be when you get home, we're going to have a great night together. and it's, like, more on me a lot of the time. And I think you not having... That's exactly what saves you from the fate you were just talking about.
It's more on you to what?
I'm that, like, that last minute dishes pick up stuff on, like, during the week. Because you're usually coming home after they go to bed.
Oh. Okay.
That's all.
I don't fully understand what you're implying, but okay.
Well, I'm afraid to dig into it. So
Are you saying that you... It sounds like you're saying you do more of
the cleanup.
You
know what was a really fun thing about Halloween? Is that when Bryn came over.
Oh, okay.
So I will say, they went trick-or-treating, and Bryn and his friend were, like, over the moon excited about being out. To the point where they... pretty quickly into it, went into, like, full Halloween mania, where they were just screaming at the moon in pure joy and running away from us in a way that was a little dangerous, and just falling in the grass and, like, maniacal.
Yeah.
And we could tell, like, we got to get them inside.
Right. And then Bryn saw his friend from school and his friend. Yeah. It was just, like, there was a lot happening. It's weird because we don't see our neighbors a lot because we're just not, like, hanging out outside.
We're friendly people.
We're not friendly. And but there's a lot of little kids. And then it's only on Halloween that you really fully realize what a big community of, like, kids and parents there are, like, right at our doorstep that we're not taking advantage of.
And you knock on a door and they open it and it's like, oh, it's you. You live 100 feet from me.
Yeah. And so then it's, like, total chaos because all these little kids are running around. And you're like, oh, I should be, like, saying hi to this person, connecting with them. But, like, my kid's running into the street and I'm just whatever.
I would say my favorite woman whose door we knocked on. I've seen her a few times, met her. She's very nice, but she always says something a little bit weird. I came to the door and she was like, oh, so cute. You know, we used to take pictures of everyone, but you can't do that anymore because now you're a weirdo.
I love that. Like, well, I was also like, imagine trying to get these kids to stand still for a picture.
Yeah.
I think the other funny thing about our co-op is that there's all of these older people who have lived here since they had kids here and they raised their kids here, and when they were raising kids here in like the 70s, I don't know, 80s, I have no sense of how old anyone is.
No, our next door neighbors definitely was raising kids here in the 70s.
Her kid, yeah. Anyway, so they lived in a time when most people were stay-at-home moms, and they were like this tight-knit community of moms that were all hanging out together, and they told me, like, there's like a sort of rec room that no one really uses here that you can rent out for birthday parties. And they were like, oh, yeah, years ago we turned that into a daycare. And like, it's just like they had such a tighter community that I'm like jealous of, but also like I wouldn't want that life.
We want everyone else here to have that life so we can benefit from it, but we don't want to participate.
Yeah, that's true. I want to be a madman husband. That's the dream.
I was going to say, me too.
Well, sorry. Good luck.
I don't. The other exciting thing that happened this week is Grandma and Grandpa showed up.
Yes.
My oldest brother ran in the marathon. He has several times, and I've never gone to watch him do it, and I feel really guilty about it. 7 years ago, my mom made me cry about it.
I have already argued this with you, but to say she made you cry for something that you did to her that then she made you feel bad about.
Oh, I do. Well, see, here's what I'm not explaining when I say that, because I realize now it sounds like she was mean or something. But
yeah,
no, she called me out.
You framed it that way.
She called me out on the fact that my oldest brother has come to a million of my shows and that I have not come watch him in the marathon. And she was upset by it. And I was like, fine. And I hung up the phone and I burst into tears because my mom yelled at me.
Well,
and she was right.
That's not all you did, but I'll leave it at that.
That's the short version.
Okay.
I take full responsibility. She was right. And that's why I cried. My mom got mad and I disappointed her. Anyway, also didn't go this year, but children and all that, I had a better excuse than I had 7 years ago.
So your parents came up here for the afternoon from the airport, which was very nice.
They had a great time.
Had a great time just popping in.
I love that our kids love their all their grandparents. And like FaceTime. So my parents live in Chicago. And I FaceTime with my mom like all the time. And so my parents, my Brynn and Maven know them really, really well. And that would not be the case, you know, 10 years ago.
I was FaceTiming my parents. Well, Brynn and Maven were in the stroller last night and we were outside. And Brynn talks on the phone like he's a 50-year-old man. And he's just like...
He talks to the world like he's a 50-year-old
man. Like, my parents were like, how's it going? And he's like, well, it's sunny out, but it's getting dark. And he, like, gives, like, a weather report. He's like, it's getting colder. I don't know. And, like, and then he, like, he was... I was telling my parents that your parents had just stopped by and that Michael was running the marathon. And they... And Brynn was like, I told Michael, just don't stop running. And he, like, was just repeating, like, the way he tells the stories is ridiculous. His tone. And when we were with your
parents. The key about that marathon is you just got to keep running.
When we were with your parents and we went out to get lunch with them, and Brynn walks into the restaurant and he just, like, saunters in like he owns the place.
Saunter is the correct word.
He's, like, swinging his arms, like, just surveying the room.
You may as well be like, Trish, how are you?
Yeah.
Good to see you. How are the kids?
He's like, you guys serve chicken fingers? Like, that's like how he talks to servers. Like, when we went through the McDonald's drive-thru, I don't know if I already said this on here, but we went through.
Yeah, you did.
And he, like, he's just like, hey.
Are we taking care of those chicken fingers? Okay, great. Thank you.
Just ketchup. I don't like the dressing or anything. I just like ketchup.
And he did great.
Yeah, and then...
Sorry if I'm wrong. I just remembered something. Go ahead, keep going. I just got excited.
You and I got into a classic fight, which is that I wanted to enjoy my meal and let him watch something on the iPhone because he was literally under the table crawling all over the dirty restaurant floor, and you wanted to not do that.
Yeah, I had a full freak out in that moment in that you gave him YouTube and the volume was playing too loud, and I felt paralyzed.
Right.
Nothing makes me more uncomfortable when anyone is playing music out loud. I don't know why.
But then it ended up being so funny because he was watching Dama Te Cosita on YouTube, and our waiter comes over, who's this Hispanic guy, and we were both so apologetic because the volume was a little too loud. And I was like, I'm sorry. And I was like trying not to interrupt the order. And then he was like clearly delighted that Brynn is watching this video, and he's like, oh, is he trying to learn the dance?
He's like, oh, this guy was so jazzed.
Yeah.
He just connected with a 4-year-old. He goes, oh, I'm trying to get the dance for what is it called?
Dama Te Cosita.
Dama Te Cosita. Dama Te Cosita.
If you don't know what we're talking about, you can go to our Instagram. You can also go to YouTube and search for Dama Te Cosita.
So Brynn got a little restless at the end of the meal and he was walking around. So I went outside with him and we sat down on a bench and I don't know how it came up, but he was like, so I started explaining, talking about grandma and grandpa. And I was like, you know, I used to live with them, you know, and then I moved out. And then I casually mentioned, yeah, like someday when you're maybe 22, you might have to live on your own. And I saw him process the idea of moving out, and he immediately got lower lip quivering, looking at me.
That's
and
it was terrifying.
And he goes, I don't want to move out.
Oh,
and I was like, oh, no, you not. And I first tried it's going to be in such a long time when you're 20s, probably. And he goes, I don't want to. And I finally ended up having to just be like, Brynn, you can live with mommy and daddy for as long as you want.
His conception of time and numbers is so funny now because, like, he tries to negotiate things without understanding what's bigger than what. So, like, you'll be like, okay, 3 more books. And then he's like, 1 more book. Like, he just doesn't really understand the negotiation.
He's like, I will have a blue house when I'm 100.
And he was he got mad at me because I was saying Maven's bed is going to ship here. She's getting the same twin bed as Brynn.
Yeah.
And I was explaining that to him, that we're going to get that. And he was like, no, I'm going to get a bunk bed because you told him we should get bunk beds, or you said that in front of him after I had already ordered a bed.
Yes,
and
I did.
He kept arguing that he's going to get a bunk bed. And I was like, no, Maven's getting the same bed as you. And then I was like, maybe someday you'll get a bunk bed. And he was like, I was like, well, maybe you'll get a bunk bed when you're 7. And he was like, I'll get a bunk bed when I'm 11. And I was like, okay, yeah, sure.
Good. Great job, master negotiator.
Yeah, yeah. And then he just kept being, and then he was like, when I get a bunk bed when I'm 11, it'll be bigger than Maven's bed, right? And I was like, mm-hmm, yeah. I was like,
you got it, buddy. He told me about beds. I was like, Maven's bed is coming. And he goes, I was like, remember when you got this new bed? And he goes, yeah, I used to have a brown bed. And I was like, it was the crib. He's like, no, I had a brown bed. I was like, yeah, that Maven's crib was your old bed. And I saw him piecing together memories and just not enjoying what I was telling him. He's like, no. I never slept in a crib like a baby.
He also might have been thinking about a past life, just saying.
Okay.
The chances that he had a brown bed in a past life are like 100%.
You know, I'll give you this. If he had a past life, the chances of him having a brown bed are very high.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
all
cause
I'm
of
saying.
Wood.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by anxiety, struggling to find restful sleep, or plagued by a restless inability to focus? It's time to break free from the chains of mental health challenges and discover a path to healthy living. Welcome to Amen University, founded by renowned psychiatrist and brain health expert, Dr. Daniel Amen. Dr. Amen, alongside a team of esteemed doctors and experts in their fields, understands the struggles you're facing and are here to offer solutions. From debilitating anxiety to sleepless nights filled with worry, our courses are meticulously crafted to target these specific challenges head on. Join us on a journey of transformation led by Dr. Amen and a roster of top-tier professionals. Say goodbye to the constant battle with your mind and embrace a future filled with hope and possibility. Visit our website today to explore our courses and start your journey towards a brighter tomorrow. Use code BRAIN10 and get 10% off. That's code BRAIN10 and get 10% off your first purchase. Amen University, because your mental health matters.
Now it's time for Did You Knows? This is where one of us reads a thing, learns something, and shares it. Beth?
So I wanted to share this article that W. Kamau Bell wrote for Men's Health. If you're not familiar with W. Kamau Bell, he's a funny comedian, really smart guy. Has a TV show on CNN, I think. I don't know if it's still on. But anyway,
he does?
Yeah. Well, I think he has another show coming out. He wrote this article for Men's Health. So the article is called W. Kamau Bell on the Secret of Raising Multiple Kids. And the thing, this article, he is admittedly dealing with like a 4-month-old at the time. He's like writing this late at night, mm-hmm. and he's not.
He's got 3 kids, right?
I believe he has 3 kids.
At least.
At least 3 kids. And he's writing
this
on
very. Yes, he has 3 daughters.
Thank you. He has 3 daughters. He's writing this probably late at night in between things. He tweeted this out today saying like he doesn't remember writing this, but he claims it's one of the best things he ever said. So a lot of this article is like the joke is that he doesn't really know what he's writing. He's too tired. But the takeaway from this of the secret to raising kids, I think one of my takeaways from this article is he has a part or his tip is accept diminishing returns. And he talks about how, Well, I'll just read it. Being a parent is like a fire truck. Can a fire truck put out one house fire? Of course, that's exactly what it was made to do. But can a fire truck put out two house fires at the same time? And he goes on. So I think that's such a great attitude. And I think it's sort of my philosophy, honestly, towards playing Dama Tecosita on a phone in a restaurant is like, you can, you know, control so much in so many environments and so many things during the week. But at a certain point, you just have to be like, I'm doing my best and I'm containing this fire. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, if I think anyone listening to this podcast or any of the reviews we get make it clear that right. we subscribe like, to this philosophy.
I just think for a lot of us, most people who have kids are working parents. And yeah. there's really only so much energy you have in the course of a week. And so you have to be like, okay, if I'm having a good day, I'm rested, maybe my kids are getting a healthy meal or at least some healthy things in their diet. I'm having the craziest day of the month. That is not the day I worry about what I'm feeding my kids. That's when I just feed them enough calories to get to the next day.
Yes. You aim for an ideal. I mean, this is, I think we... we're both good at in similar and very different ways. If that like, oh, okay, yeah, let's aim for solid principles.
And I think
and forgive ourselves when we fail.
And you kind of find your own minimum. Like, I feel like, okay, Sunday night, we're all generally fairly rested. The kids have been home all day. That is when I try to do at least one bath per week. And I try to squeeze in another bath towards the end of the week or the middle of the week with the kids. And
I just hope that you do that because that's a thing I never do.
You never worry about that. And I'm not blaming you because there's a lot of other things you do worry about. But getting our kids clean is not something you worry about.
No. And but it's also, though, I mean, obviously I think we have a pretty good balance right now of responsibility. And there are certain things that have become like our specific jobs.
Yeah. Well, I noticed that sometimes I think I have to say trained you to care about certain things.
Yes.
Through a lot of effort. There are things that still extend beyond the realm of your comprehension of caring about on a day-to-day basis.
I'm open to what you're about to
say. My philosophy is like I try to pick up the slack in those areas and not the ones that I know you at some point will take the reins on. So, for example, I know that you at a certain point will unload and load the dishwasher, but yeah. you will very rarely go around the apartment and pick up dirty glasses and plates. So I just try to herd all the dishes towards the kitchen. And I feel sort of confident that we'll have this ecosystem under control.
That makes a lot of sense. Well, here's the thing. I know that I do that, and I think of it a lot, but it's always after I've started the dishwasher. And then I go in the next room, and I'm like, God damn it.
I also know, like, for some reason, you will take out the trash, and usually you'll take out the recycling at a certain point. But will you find garbage and break down boxes and get it to those points? Not necessarily.
Sometimes you're right. But I think I'm pretty great at garbage and recycling. That's my jam.
Well, I just said you were. I'm just saying you're not bringing the garbage to the garbage receptacle.
Yes, that's true. I do have attention blindness. Where I'm like in that like, oh, I'm looking for a certain thing in a certain area. And then I'm so overly focused on that thing that obvious things beyond that scope.
Right.
It's like I look at my task through binoculars.
That's why I try to herd the chaos towards the kitchen.
Yeah, I think that's a good plan. And I know like there are definitely things I know you do more than me. And I've talked about this before. Like baths is the big one that I know I'm just like not covering. But the other thing is I also know, I always just...
You don't know what you don't know.
Well, yes, that's what I'm about to say, is that I always assume that there's 100 things that I am completely oblivious to. And so I try to overcompensate for this like thing I'm blind to.
Yeah, but sometimes you talk to me for... example in the earlier segment where you kind of changed subjects, you talked to me as if I'm not doing anything, but I really think you were very unaware of how much I am handling.
Again, I agree. I know that my brain truly believes that I deserve more credit than I do. So, and I accept that.
Anyway, this article was really, I loved it. There's some great jokes in it, if you guys have time to read, just in terms of somewhere where he was like making a list of things and he was like this and this and insert third funny thing. And it was a great.
This reminded me of how I got through several papers in school where I'm like, I basically have the idea, but if I make my teacher laugh, I can literally fill up another paragraph.
Well, and that's what I kind of loved about him. Out. What I loved about him sort of like half-heartedly writing this article and being like, this is good enough for now, is it's proving the point of the whole article is like, you know, sometimes you're phoning it in at work, sometimes you're phoning it in at home, but there's just no way you could always be 100% in every area of your life. And I like...
Yeah.
I just love that. It was the article really spoke to me.
It's not a don't try.
No.
It's a you do the best you can and you forgive yourself.
And that's something he also says in the article. He's like, you know, can I do everything at home? No. Can I do everything at work? Like he's saying like he needs to work hard enough at work to make enough money for his kids to live. Yeah. And he's very, and that's like just a very practical thing of like, you know, some you can't always be the best employee when you're a parent, but you do need to be mindful of keeping your job. Most of us don't have the luxury of not having an income.
I'll find that I think how I have changed in my work since having kids is I used to be way more of the, oh, I'm going to discover a thing that the company or whoever I'm working for like hasn't thought of. And I'm going to go 110% and build a whole new thing that no one asked me to do. And I sort of go 0 to 100 and I show up. I'm like, hey, I built this thing that would have taken forever. And I can't do that anymore. And so I've changed as an employee in that I'm like, I'm not blowing anyone's mind, but boy, am I picking the right battles now.
Yeah.
And I'm choosing to be dependable.
For some reason, parenthood really gives you understanding of when you're a value add to the place you're working at and like when your time is worthy, because you know you can't do it all anymore and you just have to pick your battles. And it's, I find the same thing where it's like, you know, sometimes I leave an hour early to get the kids and maybe I make that up later. Maybe the needs are not that high on that given day, but you just know like, okay, I put in my time. Mm-hmm. I am additive in this place and at right now. And that's-
yeah, it took me a while though. I will say when we first had kids, my performance at certain tasks suffered. I suddenly became not dependable. Because I used to be able to finish it whenever, and then suddenly I couldn't, and it was a big adjustment for like
but
a year.
But also you're stretched too thin, and I think that's been for both of us, but especially you, because I think you like to devote a lot of time to your work. Like that's your natural rhythm is to try to take every free hour you have and be working with people. And you sometimes choose things that are not super valuable to you or other people just because you want to be there. It's like FOMO.
I've realized I have had this view of myself that I'm not, I sort of feel like, oh, I'm lazy and I don't do all the work and people are going to find out. And then it took me a while to realize from you and other people that like, oh no, you work in all the time. It's just, I have weird hours. And so I'm like, you're right. I think I do work a lot, but my fear of being lazy keeps me good at it. Oh gosh. Now people are going to know really I am lazy. I'm not doing anything. Except editing this podcast for release tomorrow. I'm going to be up till 1 in the morning.
1 in the morning?
No. Maybe midnight. Daylight savings is great, baby.
Hey,
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by anxiety, struggling to find restful sleep, or plagued by a restless inability to focus? It's time to break free from the chains of mental health challenges and discover a path to healthy living. Welcome to Amen University, founded by renowned psychiatrist and brain health expert, Dr. Daniel Amen. Dr. Amen, alongside a team of esteemed doctors and experts in their fields, understands the struggles you're facing and are here to offer solutions. From debilitating anxiety to sleepless nights filled with worry, our courses are meticulously crafted to target these specific challenges head on. Join us on a journey of transformation led by Dr. Amen and a roster of top-tier professionals. Say goodbye to the constant battle with your mind and embrace a future filled with hope and possibility. Visit our website today to explore our courses and start your journey towards a brighter tomorrow. Use code BRAIN10 and get 10% off. That's code BRAIN10 and get 10% off your first purchase. Amen University, because your mental health matters.
Hello, this next segment is called Listeners Want to Knows. This is where we take your questions and comments.
I like that you introduced that with a hello. Welcome back.
It feels like a welcome back because we both just went to the kitchen and made old fashions for ourselves.
It's true. And everyone else probably just listened to a great ad.
Yeah.
What was it about?
Welcome back, guys.
Welcome back.
Buy that stuff.
Buy that stuff or listen to that show, whatever it was. I bet it's great. So we got a whole bunch of great listener mail recently. I just want to say, by the way, we're getting so much listener mail, which is the heart of the show.
Yes, and thank you guys. We don't always have time to respond to it, but yeah, we do read them, and it's very.
We read everything that's sent to us, and I have intense guilt about all the emails I have not responded to, and a lot of them are on the list that I'm like, oh, I want to talk about it this sometime, so I haven't responded. If I haven't responded, I'm meaning to respond with,
and
you're great, thank you.
We love that you guys are engaged. Sometimes you guys are replying to topics we've covered on the show, and because we've already covered it, we're not trying to talk about it too much and move on to other things, so we might come back to it, but it's not that we didn't appreciate your comments, it's just that we don't want to talk about the same thing on five different episodes.
Because we're so professional, that's why.
Because we're so professional, and this is all about the listeners, you know?
And thanks for all those reviews.
Thank you, guys.
They make us feel so pretty. So this email, there's actually two things in this email that I want to talk about. They come to us from Matt from Long Island. And so I'm going to read one of them. We'll talk about it, and then I'll read about the second part. Matt wrote in reaction to the finding out the gender of the baby segment that we did. With his own story about how he and his wife had different opinions and then over time switched in the end. But I'm going to skip that. But just know that it was great. And Matt writes, one quick aside, BTW. I do feel that folks need to be a bit more private with their gender reveals. I've seen countless videos online of failed attempts to hit a baseball, or even worse, one parent, almost exclusively the dad, being visibly disappointed by the result. I can't imagine the guilt I would feel if my younger daughter watched a video of me being anything but thrilled that I was having a daughter. If you aren't truly excited for your pregnancy, regardless of the gender, maybe don't invite 20 people to reveal your gender and live stream it on Facebook. Okay, down from my soapbox. And then he has a real question. But I wanted to talk about that.
Okay, so that's like, it's hard to talk about this without offending someone. So I will say, first of all, I respect everyone's choices, but...
But fuck you, people that I'm about to insult.
Here's who I'm going to insult. I totally get what he's saying about people being unenthusiastic about the gender in the moment when they discover, because the type of people who do gender reveals oftentimes, not always, are
Boy,
people...
Boy, this is a generalization.
People who are performing parenthood rather than experience, like...
Ooh, I hear what you're saying, but I'm also offended for some people that are hearing this and being offended.
Like, I don't think everyone who does this is a horrible person. And I know, you know, it's just sometimes you just do fun traditions for no reason. Peter and I did the garter toss at our wedding because we didn't know any better. It was just, we were young and we thought that's how weddings worked.
That's a weird thing. I mean, but so is throwing a bouquet to all the single ladies.
People with tasteful weddings don't do that now. But we didn't know.
A lot of people do. We did. And
okay,
if
whatever.
You're listening
it
and you did
matter.
That, you're great too.
We're not judging you on this one thing. I'm just saying, at the heart of it, gender reveals in 2018, a year when a lot of us are waking up to the fact that gender is a construct and that... You know, there's a spectrum of our gender presentation and our sexuality and all of these things. It's a very unnecessary tradition we have sort of given to the world.
Yes. I think in through that lens of whether intentionally or unintentionally, what that event can say is this is like this matters one way or the other. But where I think it is potentially a very positive thing is, like, again, I've talked about this before, is that when the gender is revealed, there is something that shifts in your brain where it's the person you're picturing in your head doesn't exist and it's not correct. But knowing one detail about that person that you didn't know inherently like creates a more intimate relationship with this person in your head and it feels
and biases you towards them.
Yes, that is the negative side, but regardless of all, it's all false because you haven't met them, but there is a feeling of intimacy and excitement connected to even the imaginary person. So I think that impulse, getting excited and wanting to know and eager to meet this important person in your life, is a very valid and beautiful thing. And I think this
I have no problem with people wanting to know. It's just that a gender reveal, as people tend to do it, is a performance of finding that information. And that's like,
sure.
That's in giving it extra weight. And it's saying like, we care more about what this person's gender is. Like,
I think that is that's the messaging that I think is problematic.
It's making it feel like a momentous thing of like, this might make or break this person. And it's like, it's just...
I mean, is it any... I mean, yes. The answer is yes. Is it any crazier than a baby shower?
No, because it's not just... You know, some people do it in just a light way where it's like pink or blue balloons, whatever. They're just finding out. Other people, middle America, like Christian America.
Oh,
these
boy,
gender,
you are generalizing.
I'm not generalizing. Once again, I'm referring to something you haven't read up on that I have. In Christian America, these gender reveals will be like, I can't remember the specifics,
this
but it'll be.
A very specific corner of Christian America. We don't want to overgeneralize. Keep going.
Oh my God, chill the fuck out. Just let me speak. The gender reveal will be like, is it guns or pink? Like they will label it'll be like, I wish I could remember the phrasing because they have like a rhyme that makes more sense. But it's like,
do you have a girl and is your life ruined, or
yeah,
is it a boy and you win?
They're like, do you have? There's a rhyme that I'm like fully fucking up on, and that
are you
would
sure
make
wasn't what I just said?
Much more satisfying, but yeah, it's like, is it dresses or is it jerking off on the subway? Like, it's just like really like, does he have a pickup truck or is he just sitting pretty at home? Like, it's just like very like, it's the messaging of the gender reveal is like, these are camps that you will be divided into and you have to behave this way for the rest of your life.
Listeners, your challenge this week is to write a better, a version of whatever the hell that
please
is.
Please write them.
Next week, I want to read 10 of them. a really offensive overgeneralization of gender that implies that boys are great and girls are a disappointment.
They're like, is your baby a redneck or is it a red dress?
That's fantastic. So yes, I think those types of gender reveals are terrible. But
that's like a lot of them. That's like the tone of gender. That's the inherent tone of a gender reveal.
Yeah, I think it's like us with the garter throwing. There's an unintended message in us doing that. It's out of ignorance of like, oh, this is what people do. That is a message. It was an unintended message. Yeah. And I think a lot of gender reveals are because that has been done and people aren't thinking about the messaging of it.
Yeah. And I don't.
And it's probably fine almost all the time.
Again, I don't think we want to sound super judgmental. I don't think obviously we're sitting in our like media towers analyzing the things that people do and other people are just trying to live their lives. And I don't think you have to think about the messaging of everything you do all day, every day. I'm just saying this trend overall sort of speaks to a larger cultural idea of how we think about gender.
And there's Matt makes a great point that, you know, your face is designed to show exactly what you feel. And in a moment of saying it's a girl, and even if you didn't realize till that moment that you were sort of hoping for a boy, that shows up on your face.
You didn't realize until that moment that you thought inherently that boys are more deserving of love than girls. Oh. And then we're all witnessing you feeling it.
This is a study. Somebody has to go. Somebody go online and find a bunch of these videos. And I want to see dads' faces disappointed that they had a girl. Whether they realize it or not, that like that there's an inherent bias in some people, that maybe that is the moment they realize it. They probably don't even realize it, but we witness it in their emotions and on their face. Oh my gosh. Listeners, I got a lot of work for you this week.
Can someone not only come up with funny ideas for gender reveal party names, but also can you make a compilation of YouTube videos of reluctant dads experiencing gender reveals? Please send it to us. Thank you. We love you. We'll credit you on the podcast.
Second half of Matt's email. The first half was great. This is me stalling as I scroll.
We're drinking old fashions.
Oh my God, we're getting tipsy.
What's the next question?
I just reminded Beth, on an earlier version of this podcast when we were developing it, I had an idea where we always have a different drink and we start the podcast by saying, Beth, what are you drinking? And she
Yeah, Peter
like
wanted
idea.
To introduce our podcast in the very first episode by having a meandering conversation about the drink he was drinking.
Keep in mind, we know nothing about booze.
Yeah. So, I don't know. If you're looking for a podcast where Peter just kind of rambles about what's in his cup, let us know.
Come on over to Peter's Cup. okay, so here's the other half of it. Okay, I have a question for you. My wife and I are struggling with our toddler's separation anxiety and looking for pointers. Matthew screams and resists any activity that results in being separated from whomever or whatever is with him at that moment. Examples of this include: anytime we drop him off somewhere or someone picks him up and he knows we won't be with him. Anytime someone who is over leaves, even if it's not us and even if we are both there, i.e. cries when his nanny leaves every day. Anytime we are leaving and the family pet or all his toys can't come with us. Anytime we arrive somewhere and try to remove his jacket/shoes. While we don't feel he is affected by separation anxiety disorder, and in most instances, he readjusts within 5 minutes, our biggest fear is with school. This September, Matthew began his first drop-off program that meets 2 hours a day, 2 days per week. His teacher claims that he is fine within a few minutes, but we cannot help but notice that out of 9 children, Matthew is the only one left who still cries and refuses to get in the classroom after about 8 weeks/16 classes. It sometimes sets off one or two of the other kids, and we are becoming self-conscious about it. Really interested to hear your advice and other listeners' advice on how to help him through this. I feel he is a very intelligent, intuitive child, and we don't want this getting in the way of his further development. Thanks, and all the best to you, Brendan Maven, Matt from Long Island.
Thank you, Matt.
I have a short answer.
Okay.
It's going to be fine.
It's going to be fine. My inclination with questions like this is always like, this is a phase that will pass, and it has very little meaning. But I also think, like, someone in my mom group posted something about this recently where her daughter was getting really mad and jealous when she would hug her husband and just wanted to be included in everything. And it was really cute. But it was just, like, some sort of weird reaction that, like, toddlers are – I don't think it was a toddler she's describing, but young kids have.
Matthew, this child is 2.5.
Matthew's
so this is Maven's
yeah.
age.
So in toddlers, it makes perfect sense.
Oh, totally.
But what someone said to this woman in my mom group is like, you've been traveling a lot lately, so maybe she's just feeling a little bit insecure about like where she stands, the amount of attention she's getting, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the thing with kids. Like sometimes I've heard people refer to it as like refilling the well or whatever when you're like – for example, you're like at home all day with a toddler. Either mm-hmm. it's Saturday or you're a stay-at-home parent and you're like at your wit's end and they're just clawing all over you. Sometimes if you just give them that reassurance that you're there for them, if you spend 20 minutes like just very actively playing with them, they're over it and then they're like – they feel more secure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess this is the basis for like attachment parenting or whatever, which I have read nothing about. But you're like, you make your kid feel secure in that attachment to you. And like, you're not trying to leave them constantly, even though sometimes you are. And you just, you feel that well. And then they feel mm-hmm. secure. And then they will let you go about your business as usual, you know?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we're not there or know what we're talking about because that's our thing.
That's but, your response to what I just said is that we don't know what we're talking about?
I mean, we don't know that it's right. But
well, also, it's a toddler, so sometimes their behavior makes no sense at all.
Yes. I mean, I connect to so many of the things you were talking about. It took a long time to... I can't quite get out the door without both of my kids insisting that they take something. This morning, it was both of them needed to leave with their summer water shoes on their hands so that they could walk like elephants.
That's the kind of stuff, though, where I'm like, okay, cool. Like, this is doable. Thank you. We can work with this.
But when
this request, I love.
When Bryn was 2 to 3 and even into 3, getting out the door was... all negotiation, all crying. He hated to switch.
Yeah. I have to quickly say, our kids have suddenly fallen in love with their water shoes in November, which are not warm shoes.
They are full of holes.
They're full of holes. They're fine. Like, if you're wearing socks under them, it's fine. But it's just, it's like, it's getting to be winter, and our kids are like, oh, I got to put on these water shoes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But I think also the thing I would think was a challenge is... their son is going to playgroup twice a week. That's like so spread out.
Yeah, that's
that you don't get into a routine. Our kids go to daycare 5 days a week, and every time there's something new, they would freak out for 3 days.
Yeah,
and for I would get through these things because I'd just be like, well, I'm going to stay calm, and I'm not going to show any. I'm not going to show them that I am distressed.
Yeah.
And then just 3 days in a row of saying, no, we're doing this, we're going. Well, and that's when they would get over
right.
it.
Right. It's a hard thing to give advice on because for some people, you know, 2 days a week or 2 hours of preschool is all they have. And financially, they can't justify hiring
yeah.
someone to watch their kids to do, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
A lot of jobs these days just do not pay enough for people to justify yeah. the cost of like full or part-time childcare.
It just means it's going to take longer.
So it's just, yeah, you have to have a lot of patience. I think, in having that kid get out there. But I do, like, I think sometimes you have to remind yourself, like, it's like ripping off a Band-Aid, and maybe if your kid is only doing it 2 days a week, it's a little bit of a slow rip off of the Band-Aid. But the fact that you started the process is progress, and you will be able to get away from your kid.
Yeah, and at some point. So long as you are not reflecting back at them their own distress, you know, especially when you have to say goodbye to a kid, it's very clearly that, like, a positive, I will see you later, I love you, goodbye, kiss, and then you turn and you go. And the more you draw it out, the more it validates their fear. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I immediately was like, it's going to be fine, is that, as you say, within 5 minutes, he's fine.
Well, that's 9 times out of 10, I think that's like the report parents get from the caregiver is like, oh, after 5 minutes, he was fine. And then there's like occasionally that one kid that's just like, it takes longer for them. And that's, again, just like another part of the process. Like, you have to know that that's your kid. Like, that's what your kid is like, you know?
You got a beautiful, sensitive boy.
Yeah. I mean, well, I do really think, and this is like, we spoke to this in terms of having a meeting with daycare about Bryn and his needs, is like, all your kids have different needs and you just have to sort of figure it out as you go. Like, they're all totally different people.
Oh my God. You know what we're doing tomorrow?
What?
Parent teacher conference.
That's right.
Oh my gosh.
It's election day. So you guys have that to look forward to. We're also voting.
We're going to drop our kids off. We're going to vote, and then we're going to go talk about Bryn with pre-K.
We're going to go vote for some people who hopefully care about families. This has been We Knows Parenting. You can find me at Beth New on Twitter. You can find Peter at McNinn. Find us on Facebook at the We Knows Parenting page, on Twitter and Instagram at We Knows Pod.
And if you'd like to submit a question, share a story, or to send us that awesome gender reveal poem that you're writing right now, you can email us at weknowspod@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 347-384-7396. Also, please visit our website, weknowsparenting.com. You can also find the phone number there, or buy a t-shirt from our merch store. We got some funny shirts for the holidays. And rate and review this podcast on the Apple Podcast.
And subscribe.
And subscribe. We want to bump it up the charts. We hit number 9 this week.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Until next time, I've been Peter McNerney.
And I have been and still am Beth Newell.
Our new signing off. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by anxiety, struggling to find restful sleep, or plagued by a restless inability to focus? It's time to break free from the chains of mental health challenges and discover a path to healthy living. Welcome to Amen University, founded by renowned psychiatrist and brain health expert, Dr. Daniel Amen. Dr. Amen, alongside a team of esteemed doctors and experts in their fields, understands the struggles you're facing and are here to offer solutions. From debilitating anxiety to sleepless nights filled with worry, our courses are meticulously crafted to target these specific challenges head on. Join us on a journey of transformation led by Dr. Amen and a roster of top-tier professionals. Say goodbye to the constant battle with your mind and embrace a future filled with hope and possibility. Visit our website today to explore our courses and start your journey towards a brighter tomorrow. Use code BRAIN10 and get 10% off. That's code BRAIN10 and get 10% off your first purchase. Amen University, because your mental health matters.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.